City First. Thank you guys so much for being here, whether in person or online. And as you just heard, we're in the middle of our At the Movie series, which is actually one of our favorite series because it's so much fun. And movies are really not the topic. They're just the beginning of the conversation. And like Jesus told parables, we are taking movies and we're pulling life-changing truths out of them. So we're going to do the same this month. This day, though, this is going to be a fun day. And the reason why is because we're going to talk about one of my favorite movies of all time, and it is the movie Nacho Libre. Now, for those of you who have not seen that movie, it is such a dumb movie. It's hilarious, if that makes sense. Like literally, it's probably one of my favorite movies, and some of you are like, really? But it's just so stupid, it's funny. And so anyway, the movie stars Jack Black, and it's about a cook in a Mexican monastery, and he goes by the nickname Nacho, all right? And this monastery is home to an orphanage, and unfortunately, the orphanage is under some financial duress, and they are not able to keep the doors open if they do not get some money. And so Nacho decides that he is not only just going to be a cook at the monastery, but instead also he's going to moonlight as a wrestler on the side to raise money for the orphanage, and he tries to keep his identity confidential. So anyway, this is a great movie, but what you may not know is this movie is actually based loosely on a true story, believe it or not. I didn't realize this until literally 3 weeks ago. But anyway, the movie is based on a real-life priest. His name is Father Benitez, and basically he worked at an orphanage, and it was the problem of the money, and they couldn't keep the doors open, and so what he decided to do is he decided to moonlight as a wrestler and raise money, and he went by the name Fray Tormenta. That was the name of his wrestling persona, and he would raise money for the orphanage. This is actually a picture of him right here. This is him, like the modern day Nacho, literally. He would get up every morning at 4:30 in the morning. He would go into Mexico City and he would train how to become a wrestler, and then he'd be back to the orphanage by 7 a.m. for daily mass. His very first wrestling match, he earned $10, literally, for the orphanage. And when the bishop, the Catholic bishop over the area, basically found out that Father Benitez was doing this, he said, hey, you got to stop. This is silly. You can't do that. But Fray Tormenta did not listen. And he continued to wrestle. In fact, there have been two movies done about him. The first one was in 1991, and then the second one, which we know as Nacho Libre, was done in 2006. And actually, Fray Tormenta used the royalties from both of these movies to build buildings for the orphanage. Isn't that crazy? He retired in 2000. I believe he's still alive. But he retired in 2000, get this, after 23 years of wrestling. 23 years. In fact, even recently in 2020, they say that he went and he sold a bunch of his luchador masks like this one. I'm not going to put it on for you. I know some are wishing I would. But anyway, he sold them and gave the money also to the orphanage. And I don't know, people say that he has helped over 2,000 children, get this, 2,000 children to be able to have a place to live, helped them to grow up. Many of them now become doctors and lawyers and accountants, and some of them have even become priests and wrestlers, believe it or not. Isn't that amazing? Come on, give a round of applause for that. That's pretty awesome. Good for him. It reminds me of a verse that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and it goes like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 and 23. It says, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I become all things, this is a point I want us to think about today, I become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. You know what Paul's basically saying there? He's basically saying, I will do anything short of sin, anything short of sin to reach people. And I love that kind of spirit. I love Fray Tormenta, that kind of a spirit. It's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to reach people. And, you know, I started to think about it. I thought, what do I want to talk about today with Nacho? It's like one of my favorite movies. What do I want to talk about? Well, I want us to dive into this thought that we need to keep eternity in our perspective as we live this life. Because for the 70, 80, 90, 100 years, however long we're here on the face of the earth, that's not everything. There's an eternity. And how we live in this life really determines a lot about eternity. Now, I also started thinking about it. I thought, you know, what you and I do for a living, we will not do forever. You know, if you're a teacher, you've gotten an education, you've gotten your degrees, you're teaching right now, but guess what? There's going to be a day that you don't do that anymore. And if you're a doctor, you've gone to school for a really long time and you're practicing right now, but there's going to be a time that you wind down and you're not doing that. If you're a tradesman, you're working construction. If you're a barista, if you are an accountant, a waitress, a musician, even a pastor, here's the thing. There's a season that comes where you begin to wind down or you may even retire. So therefore, what you are doing right now that consumes the majority of your life, you're not going to do it forever. It's going to only be temporary. And the reason I even bring that up is because of this. I bring up that because many times we're only focusing on work. We're only focusing on these things. And we think that's all there is to life. But really, that's only a portion of our life. Now, hopefully you enjoy what you do. And hopefully it brings home some money to be able to live on. And hopefully also it's contributing to the greater good of humanity and the well-being of others. But it's temporary. And if we try to find our identity in what we're doing for work, we're going to come to a day where we're no longer working, and there goes our identity also. In fact, I was talking to somebody this week who just retired after being in a field for over 40 years. And he literally said this. He goes, I don't feel important anymore. And that can happen. Because if all of you is wrapped up into your work, and then there comes a day where you're not doing that work, maybe you've changed fields, maybe you got laid off, maybe you retired, whatever it is, well, then your identity, if it's tied to that work, then all of a sudden you find yourself without an identity. And here's the thing. Our weakness as people is that we want other people to think we're important. But God never called us to be important. He called us to be faithful, all right? Which means, and you can give that a round of applause, which means this, there is a higher calling to our life than just what we do for work. Now listen, work is significant. What you do from 9 to 5 per se is significant. So I'm not trying to like say that's not important, but we can't find our identity in that. You know, Nacho finds himself in a place where he doesn't like his work. And so he wants to be looked at as important. And he wants to become a wrestler. And as we watch this, I want us to watch how all of a sudden he decides that he's going to find his identity in wrestling. Watch this.
Our scene opens and Ignacio is on his way to pick up chips for the children in the orphanage. Unfortunately, he gets robbed on his way. Defeated, he turns the corner into town and sees a famous luchador arriving in a limo. Surrounded by fans and paparazzi, Ignacio looks on longingly, jealous of his notoriety and fame. He then notices an advertisement on the wall offering prize money for the next fight. That's it. He decides he wants to become a luchador. The next day, he's serving lunch to his fellow monks. The food is unappetizing leftovers, and he states that the food was stolen the night before. Gaining disappointed comments and criticism, Ignacio leaves the pot of food, declares that he must be meant for a different life, and runs out of the monastery to go be a luchador. A child follows and says that he likes his food to get him to stay. Ignacio responds with, "I am the gatekeeper of my own destiny, and I will have my glory day in the hot sun," and rides off.
You know, there's a person mentioned in the New Testament that doesn't get a lot of attention, but yet he's lived a significant life. In fact, there aren't a lot of sermons that are preached about him, but without him, most likely we would not be here today. And we learn about the beginning of his story back when Jesus is first picking his disciples, And there's an individual by the name of John the Baptist who has some disciples. And John was kind of a forerunner to Jesus, and he prepared a way for Jesus, you could say. And then the disciples notice that Jesus is the Messiah. Let's go ahead and pick up here in John chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "Again, the next day, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." So they left John and followed Jesus. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Here's our guy. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Goes on to say he found his own brother, Simon, in other words, Peter, that was the name Simon Peter, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. So Andrew is one of Jesus's first disciples, and he learns that Jesus is the Messiah, and he runs and grabs Peter. Here's another story later on where we learn about Andrew in another instance about how he's a key figure, but yet he's kind of hidden in the background. It's the feeding of the 5,000, and many of us know this story of Jesus. And it says this: "Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, 'Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?'" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, here's our guy again, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd?" Again, he stands in the shadows. He stands actually in the shadow of many more famous disciples like his brother Peter, or like James or John or Matthew or even Judas. More people know about Judas than probably Andrew. So who is this Andrew guy? Well, I'll tell you who Andrew is. Andrew is the one that introduced Peter, his brother, to Jesus. And Andrew was one of the first 2 disciples of Jesus. He was so impacted by Jesus that he went to go find his brother Peter and said this, says, "You got to come and meet the Messiah." If there was no Andrew, theoretically, we could say there would be no Peter, in a sense. There would be no Apostle Peter. You go, well, what's the big deal with that? Well, Peter was the one that started what we now call the church. Jesus looked at Peter and said, "I'm going to have you start the church." But Peter wouldn't have met Jesus if it weren't for Andrew, all right? No Apostle Peter, no church. Who's this Andrew guy? Andrew is the one who is willing to, as the other disciples are going, "How are we going to feed everybody?" He's out in the crowd looking for somebody with food. So the other disciples are over there picking their nose or whatever. And Andrew's like, "Well, I'm gonna go fix this. I'm gonna figure it out." So he goes out in the crowd, he finds the boy with some loaves of bread and fish, and he's, you know, brings him back to Jesus. So who is this Andrew guy? Well, Andrew is a bringer. And what he did is he brought people to Jesus. It seems almost underwhelming, right? Seems a little bit elementary. But Andrew was a bridge. Andrew, I'd like to say it this way, was the handshake of God. He would introduce people to Jesus. He decided to leverage his one and only life to focus on one life at a time, and every person he focused on, he brought to Jesus, and their life was changed, and the trajectory of that person's life changed many people's lives. Without Andrew, some kid is eating a lunch in the middle of a crowd of thousands of people that don't have food. And without Andrew, Simon Peter just keeps on fishing, and the church doesn't get launched. Without Andrew, a lot of things are very different, including our lives, because again, of Andrew, Peter started the church. Andrew is not famous, but I'll tell you what he is. He lived a life of significance, okay? And here's a fact. People are not introduced to Jesus by mistake. They are introduced to Jesus by a person, all right? Andrew understood the power of an invite. He understood what it was like to find somebody and bring them to Jesus, and that person totally changes. See, reminds me of a gal that I knew back in the day, her name, Jackie. Some of you know my story. I grew up in the church, but that doesn't mean that I always followed Jesus. In fact, there was a period of time that I was really walking away from God during the end of my high school and the beginning of my college years, and I was doing things that were very not how I was raised to live. I was partying and drinking and doing all kinds of stuff, and one day, a friend of mine by the name of Dean and I were at a local college here, and I was skipping class like I normally did, and this girl named Jackie came up to us and said, "Hey, I'd like to invite you to come to my church on Wednesday night. Would you like to come?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, okay." Well, anyway, she went to church at a little Lutheran church up in a place called Roscoe, which is just north of here. For those of you that maybe aren't from the state line area, it's about 20 minutes north of here or so. And I told her, yeah, we'll come. And so that night, that Wednesday before church, Dean and I, as we did a lot, as we went out drinking, and I kind of got a little buzzed before I went to church. Now, some of you are like going, "Pastor, are you kidding me?" Hey, this is B.C. Jer, okay? I'm telling you, this is B.C. Jeremy, all right? I mean, this proves there's a God, okay? And so we ended up showing up at this little Lutheran church, and Jackie was there with all her friends. And I'll be honest with you, I went into that church service, and I kind of went in with a little chip on my shoulder because I had been drinking, and I was a little bit kind of like, I was just being a jerk. And I was waiting for somebody in that church to look at me. At that point, I had like crazy long hair. I did not look, I mean, I had ripped jeans. Of course, I still have ripped jeans. I had all these, like, you know, things that church people don't do, and I was just waiting for one person in that church to say something to me, because then I'll tell you what it would have done. It would have verified and solidified the fact that I didn't like church. I was almost pushing all the buttons to see if anybody would say something, and then I'd have an excuse, because that's what happens a lot of times. When people walk away from God, they want to make it the church's fault. So anyway, I was trying to make it the church's fault, and I walked in. And Dean and I were there, we met Jackie, and I'll tell you what we experienced that night. Nothing but acceptance and love from that little Lutheran church. Like, I walked in there, they were so happy to see me. They were like, "Come on, you know, have a seat," all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, "Come on, somebody treat me like a jerk, because I want to be a jerk." And no one did. And I'll tell you something, it marked me. It wasn't until after over a year later that I actually gave my life to Jesus. But I will never forget, because that moment, God used Jackie like an Andrew to just introduce me to Jesus, to just get me there. And guess what? God began to work on me, and I was bothered by the fact that everybody treated me so nicely. I was bothered by it. I mean, literally, I was wanting somebody to be a jerk so that I could then be justified in my jerkiness, all right? And it didn't happen. And for the next year, it bothered me to the point where finally I ended up coming to this church and I gave my life to Jesus. You see, you never know when just being an Andrew of just saying, "Hey, let me just bring you into the presence of God. Let me just introduce you to Jesus, and then let Jesus do the rest." So how do we do this? I'm gonna give you very quickly 4 points that almost seem elementary, too elementary. In fact, as I was writing today's sermon, I was thinking this is too simple, but I remember the simple things are what create the greatest change in our lives. And so the first thing, if you want to introduce people to Jesus, number one, look for opportunities to serve others. Look for opportunities to serve. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." In other words, if we serve other people, guess what? It is like saying, "I'm introducing you to Jesus. I'm doing it in the name of Jesus. I'm serving." And guess what? It's like I'm introducing people to Jesus. And nowadays, if you actually serve other people, you're going to stand out because everyone is only serving themselves. So when you make it a point to serve others, I mean, it just is like, whoa. One of my friends, Bob Goff, he's amazing at this. Like, he just serves and loves. And guess what? Because of that, thousands of people have found Jesus. So how do we do that? How do we serve other people in our schools, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, even in our families? Number two, look for opportunities to care for others. See, these are simple. You're waiting for something that's like revolutionary, that has some alliteration and everything starts with the letter S or whatever else. It's just simple things. Care for other people, because people don't care how much you know about the Bible until they know how much you care about them. Does that make sense? I mean, that's just huge. They don't care about what you know until they know that you care. In 2 Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says this. It says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Can we get outside of ourselves when we're at work? Can we get outside of ourselves at school? Can we get outside of ourselves in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and actually look out and see the needs of others and care for others? Do tangible works of care. Number three, look for opportunities to sacrifice your time and resource for others. And I use the word sacrifice there on purpose, because it's not a very frequently used term in our culture. People don't want to sacrifice. That sounds weird, right? But you know what? We serve a God who gave all. He gave his son to die for us. It is sacrificial love. He did it for us. Therefore, he says, now I want you to sacrifice in a sense of giving your love, your time, your resources, your money. Do these things because John 15, Jesus quoted here, greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You know, our caring has to be tangible. It can't just be a like on Instagram. Our caring has to be tangible. You know, it isn't just like, oh yeah, I love people. How do you love people? Love is also an action. Does that make sense? Number four, look for opportunities to bring others to church, just like Jackie did. How can we figure out ways to say, you know what, with tact and in timing and such like that, but invite people into church? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. And this line I love right here. God is making his appeal through us. How's God gonna fix America? Through you. How's God gonna fix him, you know, your neighborhood? Through you. How's God gonna fix your family? Through you. See, he makes his appeal through us. He doesn't come with a magic wand and doink it on our circumstances and everything, you know, is just awesome and it's, you know, unicorns and rainbows and all that. No. Instead, his will is worked through us. An act of an invitation can change a life. Andrew simply introduced people to Jesus, and their lives were changed because of Jesus. Miracles happened, and we're talking about him 2,000 years later. Now, you might be listening and going, okay, I just don't have that type of personality. You might be more introverted, or maybe you're like, I don't have like that evangelistic side, or maybe, you know, that kind of, we picture Andrew's kind of being a little bit kind of like a salesperson or whatever. I don't think he was that way. And here's the reason why. It's because he's never described as having as big a personality as even his brother Peter. Like Peter, we know about his personality, right? Peter's this big personality. He either is really winning or really losing, right? Well, Andrew, we don't ever hear about his personality, and he's not the center of any of the larger stories that are in the New Testament. Like, he's not the key figure. We just get this idea that he's just this faithful guy who brings people to Jesus. You know, he cared for people, and that made him a bringer, you could say. You know, he didn't need to preach like Jesus. He didn't need to heal people like Jesus. He didn't need to know everything about Jesus or about God. He didn't have to have all the answers to life's complex questions. All Andrew needed to do was bring people to Jesus, and guess what? Jesus would do the rest. And it's the same with us. You're not gonna be able to fix your neighbor or your family member or your coworker. You're not gonna be able to have all the answers from the Bible. None of us do, including myself. But I guess what? If we bring people to Jesus, Jesus can do the fixing. Jesus can bring freedom. Jesus can bring salvation. He can bring joy. He can bring all of those things. And I make a solemn promise to you as the leader of City First, is that we are going to do the best we can at every location and in every expression of City First to create an environment that is as welcoming as possible so you can be a bringer. We're going to set the table and we are going to do the best that we can. We're not going to be perfect. Sometimes we'll embarrass you, okay, I guarantee you, just because I embarrass Jen all the time. I don't know, but anyway. But you know what? We're going to embarrass the baby every once in a while, but for the most part, we're going to do the best that we can to create an environment that's welcoming. I'm going to do the best that I can to preach messages that have handles that you can hang on to and take into your Monday through Saturday lives. I'm going to do everything we can, but we can't bring the people that you have contact with. You are the one that needs to bring. You're the one that has the greatest influence. I don't have the greatest influence in your sphere. You have the greatest influence in your sphere. And something remarkable happens when we start measuring our life in terms of purpose and not just accomplishment. So when we stop looking at just what we do for a living, which is important, but it's the greater kind of calling of living a life of influence. I love what Frey Tormenta did. I mean, he decided that he was going to do something extra on top of his job to help people's lives get better. And when we understand that our greatest legacy is not necessarily just what we do for work, but it's the godly influence we have through our work, through our lives, through our neighborhoods, through the gym that we work out in. See, it's the influence. That's when we begin to really live our life. So Nacho has this epiphany. He decides that he's going to start wrestling for all the right reasons and not just because he wants to be important or famous. Watch this.
Ignacio has been going to Lucho Libre fights in secret. He's talking to his friend, Sister Encarnacion, and admits that he has been fighting even though it's frowned upon. Sister scolds him and says the only noble way to fight is if it is to help someone or for a greater purpose. Ignacio gets the idea to fight in order to raise money for the orphanage. Next scene, we find him praying to God in church for him to win so he can bless the children. As he is praying, his cloak sets on fire and he runs out of the church. The fire burns up his cloak and reveals his wrestling costume to everyone. They disapprove, but Ignacio promises God will be with him in the fight, and he will use his talent and winnings for good. Next, you see him in the ring fighting for his life. With an epic fly through the air, he defeats his rival and wins. He keeps his promise to the children, and we see them on a bus ending on a field trip.
You know what? I want to take a moment before we close, and I want to make this extremely practical and tangible and within reach for each and every one of us. How to be an Andrew, how to be a person that is a bringer, how to care for people, how to serve people, how to pray for people, and how to introduce people to Jesus. We have a term around here at City First called One Life, and we talk about it periodically from time to time, and really, it's based off the idea of Andrew, that he used his one life to influence one life at a time. When you walked into our physical locations today, either on your seat or in the seat back in front of you, you'll see that there's a little index card. It's a 3x5 index card. I'd like you to take it now if you could. Just grab one of them. And what I want us to do as we end today is I want us to think about, okay, God, who's the one person in my sphere of influence? It might be a family member, it might be a coworker, it might be a student that you go to school with, it might be a neighbor, it might be that barista you get the latte from every morning. Who is it that you would say, this person has kind of been on my heart, and I don't think that they know Jesus, but I want to be like an Andrew, and I want to pray for them. I want to strategically try to show the love of Jesus to them. And maybe when the opportunity is right, I would love to invite them to come to City First. You know, in 2012, City First was the 7th fastest growing church in the nation. And people have asked me, how? That was before we had multiple locations. It was just here in Rockford. How? And I will tell you how it happened. The congregation had a spirit of bringing. They just look for opportunities to bring friends and coworkers every single week. More and more people that were first-time guests to City First were showing up. Now, that's still going on, but I'll tell you what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to say, okay, that's happening, but let's pour some fire on it, because there are people that right now are in your world that desperately need God. They desperately need Jesus. They need freedom. They need forgiveness. They need hope. They need joy. They need Jesus. And how does God work? Through us. So with this card, I'd like you just to do this real quickly. Take a pen, and it should be in the seat back in front of you, or maybe you could borrow one from a friend there. Just put down their first name or their initial if you feel like, well, I don't want them to see it. So put down an initial or whatever. But I want you to name that person. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to take this card with you today. You're going to put it somewhere. Maybe it's in your Bible. Maybe it's in your car. Maybe it's on, you know, your countertop, something like that where you see it often. And every time you see it, I want you to pray for that person. I want you to look for ways that you can show the love of Jesus to that person by serving or caring. Maybe it's just like, I'm gonna bring them a coffee, or maybe it's a neighbor that's struggling, going through a tough time. Well, I'm gonna mow their lawn this week, or whatever it is, I don't know. But you're gonna pray for them, you're gonna try to figure out ways to serve, and lastly, you're going to look for a time that you could invite them to come to City First, because an invitation can change an eternity. So just do that real quickly. Just write down their name. Give you a second here to do it, and then we're gonna pray over these cards before we close. But just write their name down there and keep it somewhere where you'll see it. And then just ask God, God, lead me and guide me. I just wanna be like an Andrew. I wanna have all the answers. I don't know everything about the Bible. I just wanna be a person that shows the love of Jesus, and someday can maybe make the introduction to Jesus. You're gonna look for an opportunity. See, then this right here, this makes this more than just theory, or it's theoretical love. Rather, this is where it becomes practical love. We're gonna actually put this into practice, all right? Let's go ahead and take this card and put it in our hands. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for these individuals right now in our hand. God, each and every name represents someone you created that you love and that you desire a relationship with. Lord, thank you for the individuals that we've written down. And Lord, I pray that we would have opportunity to show them love. We'd have opportunity to show them practical care, serving them, blessing them, praying for them. And Lord, give us an opportunity to maybe even bring them to church so they can meet you. Lord, we are unable to change them. We can't even change ourselves half the time. But God, we know you can change them. So may we be like an Andrew and be a bringer. Be someone who proactively, creatively looks for ways to reach out using our one life to reach the one life that's on this card. We believe for great things. We believe, God, that you are gonna do a work in their life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God a huge round of applause. Can we do that?
Hey, what a powerful message from our pastor, Pastor Jeremy. Hey, if you have recently prayed to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to encourage you to do a couple things. Number one, tell somebody about it. We are not meant to do this life alone. So let us know in the app. Let us know in the chat. Whatever. Just tell one of your friends. We want to know about it so we can journey along with you. The second thing we want to do is we've got a resource we want to put in your hands. It's called our New Beginnings resource. And that'll just talk about some of the next steps in what this thing with Jesus looks like. So you can scan the QR code or let us know through the app.
And one thing we want to let you know about that's happening around here, it starts the first Sunday of every month, and that's a growth track. So whether you have been journeying with Jesus for a long time, or maybe you just accepted him, you've been part of this church for a long time, or it's your first day, growth track is for everyone if you have not gone through it yet. So you can do it online, but it starts the first Sunday of every month, and it's a great way to just discover the God-given purposes that he's given you and the life that he's called you to live. And so I would encourage you to check it out. You can find out more at our website, on our app, or if you scan the QR code.
That's good. Also, in our app, we want to make sure that you know that's a place where you can send in prayer requests. We want you to download that so we can make sure that we stay connected with you. Send us your prayer requests. There's also a daily reading plan. So you can read along with us and the rest of the church the same scripture and ask God to speak to us in a similar way. So download the app for that.
Yep. And then finally, make sure that you come back to church next week. We are wrapping up our series at the movies with the movie Twisters.
Oh,
it's going to be so much fun.
That's a good one.
So we love you, church. We are praying for you this week, and we'll see you back here next week. Have a great day.
See ya.